Today's scripture reading is taken from Matthew chapter 11, and I'll begin in verse 25 and continue to the end of the chapter. Matthew 11, beginning in verse 25. At that time, Jesus declared, "I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that you have hidden these things from the wise and understanding and revealed them to little children. Yes, Father, for such was your gracious will. All things have been handed over to me by my Father, and no one knows the Son except the Father, and no one knows the Father except the Son and anyone to whom the Son chooses to reveal him." Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. This is God's word. Kids, I would love to spend a few minutes just talking to you. Listen up, and I'll tell you what, you can listen to the whole thing, but I really want you to pay attention right now. Kids, do you know what it means to be weary? Have you heard the word weary before? It's kind of like being really tired or really frustrated or really fed up with something or someone. So have you ever been weary? Raise your hand if you've ever been weary of something. Yeah, I think everybody has, right? I can remember. So I went to public school I went to a private Christian school from kindergarten to fifth grade, but then starting in sixth grade, I went to public school until I graduated high school. So I kind of had both. I remember in middle school, sixth grade, seventh grade, eighth grade, it was a really hard time for me. I had a lot of stress. I was nervous and angry and anxious about going to school every day, kind of in a school like this, a big building like this. And I would come home every day, get off the bus, and just feel weary, like tired, fed up, frustrated of being with all those kids and all those teachers and having all that pressure and people looking at you and complaining about the kind of shoes you wear or the kind of clothes you wear, that sort of thing. And I would come home, and I would just sit down in front of the television, and on Long Island, New York, it was Channel 13. It was public television. And you want to know what I watched? Bob Ross. Who knows who Bob Ross is? All right, see? You know who Bob Ross is. I'm old enough that he was alive when I watched those shows. And I would just watch Bob Ross paint these beautiful little pictures of happy scenes with happy trees and happy things in them. And it calmed me down. You know, Bob Ross was my therapist in middle school. He just calmed me down. He had a soft voice, and he painted beautiful things. And that really just helped me when I was weary and fed up with stuff. And then the other two things I would do to just kind of calm down was I'd play video games. So it was the Nintendo Entertainment Center system, and it was Mike Tyson's Punch-Out for me. And let's see, Zelda 2, The Adventure of Link. Those were the ones right there. And I would just get into those games and just get lost in those games until like I got calluses and blisters all over my fingertips. And the other thing I would do is I'd go out into the street and I would just shoot hoops. I'd just get a basketball and just shoot hoops. And it would just help me kind of forget about the people and the things and the classes that was making me weary and tired and sad and frustrated. Because school is tough and life is tough and the world is difficult. And if you feel tired and overwhelmed, you're normal. We all feel tired and overwhelmed and weary. Here's the thing, though. Here's the mistake I made, and I hope you don't make it. And if you're making it now, I hope you change. Because I learned how to change. I found more rest in Bob Ross and in video games and in shooting hoops than I found in God. And God tells us in the Bible that if we're finding an escape from our weariness in anyone or anything other than Him, it's like a fake form of rest. We may be relaxing and we may be vegging out, but we're teaching ourselves how to find things to make us feel better other than God. Nintendo and video games are great. Shooting hoops and sports is great. Bob Ross, still great. But nothing can beat the kind of help that Jesus can give you. He says, come to me if you're weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. And so, kids, I never want you to forget, and I'm still trying to remember this, the kind of help that Jesus offers us when we're weary and fed up and tired and frustrated is like no other help we can get. So enjoy Bob Ross or your video games or your sports or whatever helps you to calm down, but never let it replace what Jesus wants to be for you. He wants to be the person you come to find rest. Amen? Okay, let's continue. So for everybody, I want to repeat those words from Matthew chapter 11, verse 28. Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Finding rest at Christmas time seems almost impossible with all that we are doing during this season of the year as Americans and as Christians, both religiously and culturally. Finding rest during the Advent season seems impossible. It even seems counterproductive to try and be restful at this time of year because we're shopping and we're wrapping and we're baking. And you know this, our companies and even our churches are trying to balance their budgets at the very, right? We're wrapping presents at the very same time. All of our organizations are trying to balance their budgets and figure out where are we in the black? Are we doing okay this year? Our missionaries and the charitable nonprofit organizations that we support are emailing us now and writing us letters saying they are trying to fill in the giving gaps at the end of the year, and maybe we can help them fill in those gaps at the end of the year. All of this is happening at the same time. And just a shout out to the poor postal workers. Are you watching them right now? UPS, FedEx, right? I mean, even the postal workers are working on Sunday now. I'm finding boxes at my doorstep at 7 a.m. It just never stops now. They're working on Sundays. And you look at them and you just get nervous. I love this time of year. And actually, I remember once Pastor Tom told me that when he said, when I hear like somebody like Bing Crosby singing Christmas music on the radio, he was like, I just melt. And I said, you too? Because I love this time of year. Not only as a Christian, but just like I love Advent holiday culture. I love it. I enjoy it so much. But frankly, it all stresses me out as much as I love it. Because I'm slightly introverted, I'm kind of a perfectionist, and so the intensified social interactions at Christmas time and all the year-end tasks make me weary and make me short-fused. And it's ironic that at Christmas time, especially when Christians should be aware of the grace of God and the hope of His gospel, we are stressed because we have deadlines. We have looming family conflicts that we're aware of and that we're concerned about in the coming weeks. We're exhausted from work and from holiday planning and holiday hosting. We're depressed. When we look at everybody else's lives near the end of the calendar year and we look at how other people celebrate and the blessings that we have and we compare ourselves to them and we don't measure up in our own minds, and so we're depressed from that. And then, of course, we're grieving. And because of what, you know, once you get past the initial shock and trauma of a loss, it is the grief that wears you down. When people go home and stop writing letters and saying we're praying for you, it is grief day after day and week after week and month after month that just makes you weary. You know, I looked into this a few years ago. There is technically no clinical documentation that the holidays are more depressing and stressful for Americans than any other time of year. I guess it's not technically or clinically true. And yet, the Mayo Clinic a few years ago published on their website an article entitled, listen to the title, Stress, Depression, and the Holidays, Tips for Coping. So, like, if the Mayo Clinic is publishing an article on this, it must be a real phenomenon in our lives. So maybe you are feeling weary right now. Maybe you have been feeling weary lately. Maybe you cannot remember a time in recent past that you have not felt weary. And I want to say to you that there is a Christmas carol just for you. It was written by the American pastor, Edmund Sears, in 1849. And I love during Advent season meditating on classic carols whose lyrics we take for granted when we sing them. And I want to see if you can spot this carol, because this is for you in your weariness. And ye, beneath life's crushing load, whose forms are bending low, who toil among the climbing way with painful steps and slow, look now, for glad and golden hours come swiftly on the wing. Oh, rest beside the weary road and hear the angels sing. That carol sings hope to you. Even to the poor postal workers, rest beside the weary road. Meditate on that carol maybe this week. It came upon the midnight clear. And here's what I want to try and persuade you to believe today, that Christmas time can remind us to find rest in God alone. That the Advent season is an opportunity to be reminded that we find rest in God alone. And today, as we talk about rest from Matthew chapter 11, I want to talk to you about the rest that we have lost as a human race. And I want to talk to you about the rest that people still seek after. And then finally, the rest that only God can provide and has already given to you if you are following His Son, Jesus. The rest that we have lost, the rest that we still seek after, but the rest that has already been given to those who follow Jesus Christ. So the rest that humanity lost was actually something humanity once enjoyed with its Creator. If you go back and look at Genesis chapters 1 and 2, you see that at the end of every creation day, days 1 through 6, there was this language, and there was evening, and there was morning, the second day or the fifth day. That routine, every day, God creates something, and then Moses tells us, and there was evening, and there was morning. But on the seventh day, that literary pattern breaks as you read it. And in Genesis chapter 2, we find in the very beginning, in verse 3, we read this: God blessed the seventh day and made it holy, and He rested from all the work that He had done in creation. And you don't see that phrase, and there was morning, and there was evening, and there was morning. You don't see that because on the seventh day, God's rest remained. And actually, one Old Testament scholar said that among all the ancient Middle Eastern cultures who did have periods and habits of stopping their work, the Israelites alone uniquely sanctified the seventh day for rest, made the seventh day special for rest. And so, Adam and Eve enjoyed God's rest with Him, so that even their work was restful. Can you imagine that? Strenuous, invigorating, productive, restful work, all at the same time. Can we even comprehend what restful work might even mean? You know, when Adam and Eve sinned and all of humanity inherited their sin, not only did we lose God's presence, we lost God's rest. And so the good, natural work that was blessed by God, it became toil, which was cursed. After they sinned, after the serpent tempted them, read the curses that God pronounces on the woman and then on the man. And what is introduced into the human experience because of sin was toil. And I like to describe toil as the futile striving of fallen sinners to make limited progress in a decaying world. Doesn't that sound miserable? Fallen sinners making limited progress in a decaying world. The teacher in Ecclesiastes chapter 2 commented on this. He said, "I hated life because the work that is done under the sun was grievous to me. All of it is meaningless, a chasing after the wind. Work is good. Work came before sin. Work, true work, good work, work that is connected to our purpose with our Creator, work makes you want to get out of bed in the morning, but toil makes you want to stay in bed. So as you look at the Old Testament and you look at the history of God's redemption through ancient Israel, from his promises to Abraham all the way to King David and beyond David into the Old Testament prophets where they talked about God's coming Messiah and all the hope for that Messiah's coming, it was ultimately all about returning to God's rest. Find rest, O my soul, Psalm 62. Find rest, O my soul, in God alone. My hope comes from him. He alone is my rock and my salvation. He is my fortress. I will not be shaken. The rest that humanity lost, unless you know this God, unless you know him and trust in him, you will never get that rest back. And every form of rest that you seek will, like a Bob Ross show or a video game, just be a panacea, a band-aid for your troubled soul. True rest is the result of an active faith in God. So rest, spiritually speaking, is not idleness. It's not inactivity. Rest is active. It is active faith in God, putting your trust in his wisdom, putting your hope in his ability to provide for you and the people you love, and even your church or your business. Now, the rest that people in this world, the rest that we by default seek, has actually nothing to do with faith in God. The rest that people seek apart from God is not truly rest. So my wife Becky and I, we honestly enjoy hosting holidays. We love having family over. We love having neighbors over. We love having people from the church over for holidays. We really enjoy hosting and hospitality. It's not just that we're obedient to the biblical command of hospitality, but we literally enjoy it. And yet, it's still toilsome at times, right? I mean, Ben Franklin said that guests begin to stink after a few days. And I won't say that, but I will say that it's hard to host because while other people are enjoying themselves, you're toiling away making that possible. I think one of the reasons Christmas was so magical to me as a kid is because other people were toiling in order to allow me to enjoy the holiday. And it makes me think of Martha and Mary and of their experience having Jesus in their own home. And Luke records it in his gospel in chapter 10. And if you're familiar with the New Testament, you know all about this. These two sisters, they have this big party. They're excited. They're having the rabbi Jesus in their house. And there's all these people there. And Mary is listening to Jesus. And Martha is doing what any host would do, busy making the house work for her guests. And at one point in exasperation, right, so I can imagine Martha being weary of hosting, she comes over to Jesus, and I quote Luke chapter 10, verse 40. It says, Martha was distracted with much serving. Notice the word distracting. It wasn't Martha in her joy of serving. No, Martha being distracted with much serving, she goes to Jesus and she says, Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Tell her to help me. And my point in bringing this up is that Martha was, there was something she wanted more than to host Jesus. She wanted her sister to help her. That's the focus of what Luke was trying to, I mean, Mary, that's another issue, but with Martha, she invites Jesus to her home, and what she is focused on is the fact that her sister won't help her, and there is where the toil comes in. And my point in bringing up Martha is to say an inability to rest reveals a deeper unwillingness to relinquish control. When you think about the only member of the Fellowship of the Ring, when they got into Lothlorien, The only member of the fellowship that was unwilling to relax was who? Somebody must know. Boromir, thank you. Boromir. He's the only one that they're all weary from battle. They've just lost Gandalf. Sorry, spoiler. It's like 80, the book's like 80 years old. They've just lost Gandalf. They're weary from battle. They're weary from traveling. They're weary from weather. And they finally have a place where people are good and people are full of truth and joy and light, and they can finally relax and sleep without any threats of danger. And Boromir cannot relax because he was desperate to get his hands on the ring, and he was trying to find a way to protect his homeland. A good thing, but he couldn't relinquish control of it. So an inability to rest, it reveals a hidden unwillingness to relinquish control. Without God, you can relax. Without God, a person can fall asleep. Without God, a person can stop working, but they cannot rest. God said through the ancient prophet Jeremiah, "Ask for the ancient paths where the way is good and walk in it and find rest for your souls." There it is, originally. They knew what Jesus was talking about when he offered this to them. Find the ancient paths where the way is good and walk in it, and what is the result? Rest for your souls. And then Jeremiah tells us, "But they said, we will not walk in it." To refuse God's ways is to reject his rest. Relying on your own wisdom, relying on your ability to provide for the situation. And so back to the wording of that famous carol, in order to refuse God's way is really to choose to toil among the climbing way without him. Now, true rest, here's the good news. This is what Christmas is all about. True rest has already been granted to you and is still offered to us through God's Son, Jesus Christ, who tells us, "Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." If you read earlier in Matthew chapter 11, you discover that Jesus is speaking to cities and people and religious leaders who did not believe in him and had not believed in John the Baptist who had come before him. He says, "Nobody, the wise, the important, they're not listening to us. And God, I thank you that little children understand what's going on here. That those who are humble with the faith like a child have the ability to hear what I'm saying and what I'm about to offer you." And he finally says, "Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." He did not say, "Come to me, all who are pleased with themselves and enjoying their lives." He did not say, "Come to me, all who are healthy and rosy-cheeked and at ease." He said, "Come to me, all who labor." Now, when Matthew used the Greek word for labor, it meant weariness from physical exhaustion, and it meant weariness from grief. So are you tired, or are you sad, or are you stressed, or are you preacher fatigued? Let's be honest. Hearing a different person preach to you every Sunday gets old. I'm sorry. It's hard. Jesus offers you rest, but you got to take it on his terms. He offers you rest, but you must take it on his terms. You must come to him. You must follow him. You must actively, in rest, actively put your trust in his wisdom and his provision. "Come to me," he says. His rest is possible even when you're busy. Listen to this. Even when you're busy, the rest of Jesus is possible. Even when you're sick, rest is possible. Even when you're grieved or you are feeling threatened, Jesus' rest can be with you, because rest is not found in the absence of all of those terrible things. Rest is found in the presence of Christ. So here is how Christmas invites us to find rest. In the incarnation, in God becoming a human being, in the incarnation, God entered into our toil so that we could enter into his rest. From his early childhood, Jesus, the child refugee, threatened in his life from Herod the king, having to flee to Egypt, understood our plight. And then as a boy and as a man, as a carpenter and as a rabbi, sharing in our toil, he became, as Isaiah predicted he would, he became a man of sorrows, acquainted with grief. And finally at Golgotha, he was bent low. Again, words from that carol. He was bent low by the crushing load of our sins that he carried with him on his cross, so that you and I would never have to carry that unbearable weight, the weight of our sin, the weight of our guilt before a holy, righteous God ever again. If you are still carrying that weight, I warn you, in love, it is an eternal toil of no relief. So toil, sickness, the toil we experience in daily life, sickness, grief, threats, conflicts, yes, they are burdens, but they are burdens you can carry if you are walking with Jesus. Because he has put you on the way that is true life, true hope, true wisdom, true provision. Don't so much seek the end of all of those difficult things. Seek the presence of Christ. That was Martha's problem. That's why she couldn't find rest. It's not so much the cessation of the things that make life toilsome. It is the presence of Christ that we are invited to pursue. Those are burdens that we can carry if we are walking with Christ. And again, as that carol declares, O rest beside the weary road, and hear the angels sing. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to those upon whom his favor rests. Because Advent, Christmas time, reminds us to find rest in him alone. The pursuits of control and security and happiness are burdens that you're going to have to carry alone if that's what you really want. Jesus has not promised you the American dream. He has not promised you control and security. He has promised you himself. Those burdens, he's going to let you carry on their own, and it will be a relentless toil of no relief. But the things he's called you to carry, filling up the suffering of Christ in your own bodies and in our own lives, those are burdens. Those are burdens that he will help you carry. Because in carrying them, you are becoming like him who carried your sin, which you could not carry. Drop all the things that he has not called you to carry and give them to him. And pick up his cross, as he said, and follow him. That is the ancient path. That is the right road. That is the road, the narrow way that leads to life. And you will find rest for your soul. You will never find rest from a pursuit of your own righteousness. And that's what trying to control your security and trying to control the people around you and the things around you, seeking comfort, seeking success, that's what all of that is. It's we're trying to make our own righteousness. And Jesus is not interested in helping you carry that load. He carried all of that for you, and he bled for it. Put it down. Stop carrying it. And pick up his burden. Pick up his burden, which is the air of being a child of God, the joy of being an adopted daughter, an adopted son of the King. That burden is easy. that burden is light. And you can suffer through any kind of toil or threat or grief or conflict or misery if Jesus is walking alongside of you. Lay them down and come to Christ. Maybe for the first time today, friend. And if you belong to Christ, remember he said, come to him. And never mistake the things that we try and find rest in for the one who has called himself our true rest. For lo, the carol ends this way. The days are hastening on, by prophets seen of old, when with the ever-circling years shall come the time foretold. When the new heaven and earth shall own the Prince of Peace, their King, and the whole world send back the song, which now the angels sing. Let's pray. Our Father, we thank you that in Christ you have come to speak peace to us, that you have come to find us on the weary, toilsome paths we were trotting on without you, to bring us back through repentance and faith to the right way, to the everlasting way, to follow Jesus, your Son. Oh, Father, forgive us for finding hope and relaxation and the cessation of all our worries in things that cannot fully satisfy. Thank you for this time of the year that we remember your Son's coming and we look forward to his return, where he will wipe away our tears, where work will be blessed and no longer toil. Lord Jesus, come. And until you do, may we continually come to you in our hearts, make room for you, so that we may sing like the angels, glory to God in the highest. Peace on earth and peace to us. In Christ Jesus' name, amen.